Hey, in the immortal words of Judy Brown, happiness is a choice. And we're happy you spent some time with us on a free-for-all football Friday, Masters weekend. Nick Saban's up in Augusta talking to Laura Rutledge. She looks happy and relaxed. He's just chilling. Now he's working for ESPN. So he's getting free Masters passes like right off the bat. Say, how about your boy Nick Saban hanging out at the Masters? He doesn't have to do spring football anymore. He's chilling.
Yeah, he don't need this shit. He doesn't need these kids coming to him after you lose a heartbreaking game to Michigan to get to the national championship and asking for six figures, probably less than 48 hours after that game. No, he doesn't need that at all. He needs to be relaxed. He's the greatest of all time. It's basically impossible to even top what he's done. And yeah, enjoy the fruits of your labor, kick back, have great sex with your wife, probably that you haven't had in 15 years because you've been too busy, and enjoy this life after football.
Yeah, that's the
You
way to
know what I'm
do it.
saying?
Oh, look at CB. CB's even reminding people that I was the quarterback in the Dallas Cowboys
Oh
media
my God,
football
come
game
on, come on.
when I threw for four touchdown passes and ran for another and intercepted two passes on defense, was named the MVP, the only time the print broadcast or the print media beat the broadcast media. The broadcast media team, by the way, coached by Daryl Moose Johnston.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was coaching so hard, huh?
Listen, I'm old, so I gotta cling to these memories, man.
I feel you.
I gotta trot this shit out and be like, hey, I was once capable. Now I'm trying not to cramp up getting out of bed. But back in the day, it was happening.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Hey, you and Clarence Williams tore it up, huh?
Clarence, my man, Chill Hill, Clarence Hill, Forward Star Telegram.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I swear to God, I'm gonna get this VHS tape converted. Cause I'm getting flushed out of the pocket when I threw my touchdown pass to him. This dude is like, they're pulling your flags. I'm on the dead run to the right, and I throw a perfect spiral to Chill. He grabs it. Goes about 60. We're playing on the Alamo Dome field. I mean, Jerry Jones was in the house. Come on, man.
Holy
Come on. Babe Laufenberg,
shit.
Brad Jam, they were like, damn. Didn't know you had it like that.
Yeah, we need that converted.
Yeah.
I gotta see this.
I know.
I need proof.
Nui Scruggs can vouch. Let me see if Nui can come on today.
Oh, come on. What are we doing? We're gonna stop him from his busy day just so you could gloat about.
Nui, you remember this? 2002. It was only 22 years ago,
Yeah,
for
only
God's sake.
22 years ago.
It was only 22 years ago. I'm sure it's
Yeah.
right at the top of Nui's,
Oh
Knowledge
my
Dome
gosh, man.
memories. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 22 years ago, I was getting viruses on my parents' computers for porn. Like, that's how long it was. That's a long time.
Wait,
That's a long time.
you're only like 32.
33.
33, you were 11 getting porn?
What? Come on now. That's when you hit that age.
Oh.
When you're 11, that's when you start trying to figure things out that you have
My man.
no clue of, but you
I
start
had
trying to
no
figure
clue.
things out.
I had no clue.
Oh, yeah.
My
Oh,
dad
yeah.
never gave me the talk. Like, I could punch my dad in the face.
No?
Never gave me the talk.
Wow.
So things are happening down there, and I'm going, what the hell's going on?
Oh, yeah. My dad's talk was more of an intimidation talk than beneficial. He tried. Both my parents did a really good job. They tried, though.
Well, what
That
every
talk was.
dad should do is be like, here's Astroglide and Kleenex. Don't get anyone pregnant. You give life or take life, I'm done. That's what I told my son. I gave him some Glide. I gave him some Kleenex. I said, you give life or take life, you're out of my house. Now, have at it. Have a good time. Cheers. My dad never gave me that talk.
No.
My parents were like, mom's like, anyway.
Oh, damn. Pops was just like, yo, don't make your mama a grandma. She will kill you.
Yeah.
She will kill you. Like, that's how my dad did it. Everything he did, he threw at my mom. Like, don't depress your mama. Don't make your mom ashamed of you. That's what he did. Well, that's all I needed, because my mom, you know, she ain't play. Like, she was superior than CC a lot of the time. So there were certain things that my mom did to where I understood. And CC knew that. So when he would say those things like, yo, don't embarrass your mama, I got it. But yeah.
Look at my man, Magic Man. I still have no clue, he says.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man.
What's going on down there?
That's the fun in just figuring it out, you know? Eventually, you figure it out, and then it's like, oh, my God.
Do you?
Really? What does that mean?
I know billions of men that haven't figured out shit.
Well,
especially how women be talking.
Yeah, but you figured it out. You figured it out with the Denny's. You figured it out with the Denny's waitress.
But I ain't getting no free pancakes or nothing, so did I?
Well, you got a nut.
Holy shit.
I mean, what more do you want? You're going to get a nut and you need some free pancakes?
Yeah, I'm greedy. What's the matter with you?
I mean,
yeah, you need food to live.
I'm talking about when it all first happens.
You need food to live. Come on, man.
I'm talking about when it all first happens.
Yes. Bacon, eggs. Yes.
Now,
absolutely.
She can look like a bacon and egg sandwich. Mm. You know,
I need more than that, baby girl.
Okay.
I need more than that.
All right. Now, see, now we're getting somewhere. I was just happy to be like, get that nut. You know what I mean?
Then you start thinking like a businessman, like me. I start thinking, you know, I knew a girl that worked at Tiger Market. You remember that gas station? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got donuts out of that thing. It was like a Tiger Market 7-Eleven combination. Got donuts, kolaches, and stuff. You know, it's...
Oh, my God. Saban is a relentless pipe layer? Whoa!
We're off the rails already.
What is happening?
So I think he's talking about my statement about Saban being able to enjoy his wife more now that he's...
Returned. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, you know he got a Viagra or Cialis plug in there. That's setting them up.
Hey, man, every guy should, even if they don't need it.
True.
That way they're just, you're like way constant rock star status.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes, Steve Buscemi. And I think I love my wife of Chris Rock. He's like his best friend in that movie.
Dude, I love that movie.
Oh, I love that movie. He's giving Chris Rock.
Oh my God, I love that movie.
Pills, and he's like, I might not look like Ben Affleck, but I bang like him.
Oh, yeah.
Or I don't look like Brad Pitt, but I bang like
him. Okay, the best line ever in that movie, and I'm going to butcher it right now, is... You will always lose money chasing women. You will never lose women chasing money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And his boss told him that, right?
Yeah, his boss told him
that. Yeah.
I love that movie so much.
Underrated.
That movie is so underrated.
That movie's super underrated. Chris Rock, that's some of his...
Okay, everybody listening to the sound of our voice right now, write it down. Chris Rock, I Think I Love My Wife. That movie is dope.
Yeah.
Because it's so good.
That's Kerry Washington before Scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. That's Dirty Kerry.
Dirty Kerry. She had the president out here cheating and wilding. Yeah. Kerry Washington, also underrated.
All right, did you write down the Nicole Kidman movie I told you yesterday?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Okay.
What were we call? What'd you call it? What's it called?
It's called To Die For. Okay. To Die For. That's some good Nicole Kidman action.
Okay.
Because she's hit or miss. She's hit or miss. She's not guaranteed. You know, Halle Berry, Megan Good, they're guaranteed.
Megan Good is guaranteed?
Hell yeah.
You're wilding. You're come on, man.
Go back.
Come on.
Go back to her early stuff. It's outstanding.
Cousin Skeeter? What the hell's Megan Good's early stuff? What are we talking? Waist Deep with Tyrese? Yo, thank you, CB. Man, are we talking? You must have Megan Good mistaken for some other actress or something. Look her up. Make sure we have the right person, because Nicole Kidman and Megan Good, yo, we're talking about Kawhi Leonard and JJ Redick or something. Like, love JJ Redick. He might be a
dude. Megan Good and Nia Long.
Nia Long, okay. Megan Good though.
Yeah, she does it for me.
I feel like we've had this discussion before.
And I'm still. I don't get what you have against her.
She can't act. I don't care about her acting.
She's a smoke show.
Okay, so when you mean hit or miss, Nicole Kidman looks good in some movies and other movies she doesn't. Is that what we mean, hit or miss, or are we talking about the acting chops?
Both.
Okay, if we're talking about both, Megan Good is very mid. Looks-wise, goddess, gorgeous, model. Acting-wise, suspect, terrible. Mid-grade. Like, man, that is, woo. All right, continue, though.
Okay, so, like, I'm trying to. That doesn't do it for you?
Yes. She looks amazing. Megan Good, top-notch. But the girl can't act. Okay. I've been following Megan Good since she was on Nickelodeon. Cousin Skeeter, that was my point.
I don't pay attention to her acting. I'm just like watching.
See, the cookout, horrible. The cookout is horrible. You can't even consider the cookout a hood classic. Black people don't even like the cookout. That is a terrible movie. That's the point, Timmy _ Taco. That's the point. Megan Good. Yeah. Them looks, that's what's putting her over the edge. But man, Waist Deep, Lord, that is some bad work.
I'm gonna find you a good Megan Good movie.
Okay, we're gonna be here all night then.
That's so rude.
We gonna be here all night. Like, Megan Good is a great actor for Tubi movies. She's terrific. She did Tubi movies.
She's a great actress for Tubi.
If she did Lifetime movies or Hallmark, those Christmas movies and stuff, that's her lane. Like, she's there with the Kelly Rowlands of the world. You know, Megan Good in the 50 Cent video, 21 Questions, prime.
Wasn't Think Like a Man a good movie?
It was a good movie, but great cast. That was a great cast. Like, Kevin Hart. That's, you know, Kevin Hart goes a long way. Taraji B. Henson, she's solid, goes a long way. Regina Hall, pretty solid. You know, also could be bad too, but all of those actors and actresses are better than Megan Good. She was just kind of in it. My man, Turtle from Entourage, he was in that. He was good in that. Jerry Ferrara, something like that. But Megan, of all the actresses in that movie, Megan Good's the worst one by far.
Okay, fine.
By far.
Fine.
Hell of a woman, though.
Yeah.
You know.
We're going to give her some love.
Yeah, give her some love.
Megan Good needs love,
we
too.
We need people like you, Megan Good supporters like that. We need that. She needs that. She's been going through it with her boyfriend, Jonathan Majors.
What do you think of What do you think of Tyler Perry movies?
Oh, horrible. Horrible. Tyler Perry movies are terrible, but
They're kind of so bad, they're good.
They're entertaining. The last one I saw the Kelly Rowland one, Mia Coppola. It just came out on Netflix not too long ago. It has that Trevante Rhodes dude in it who went to UT. I think he ran track, maybe. He went to UT, though, and he's like the big new Morris Chestnut type dude in Hollywood right now. Like, everybody loves him. Good-looking dude. I see why he's doing well right now, but it was awful. It was an awful movie. It was an awful movie. Best part was him. Best part was him and just basically seducing Kelly Rowland the whole time. That was cool. Kelly Rowland looks good.
Megan Good in 50 Cent video.
Yeah, man. 03, 21 questions. Classic. 50 goes to the pen in the movie and she's supporting him outside the pen and they still have love. And yeah, 50 was asking questions the whole movie. But that was her peak though. That 2000 to 06, maybe.
I'll take that peak.
That was a solid peak. That was a good run.
What was the name of the video with 50 Cent?
21 Questions.
Okay.
Classic song. Okay. You probably remember if you heard it. Girl, you know me if I was down. Know me if I was out. I don't know the lyrics. You still got love for me.
Did you do musical theater in high school?
No. No.
Are you sure?
Positive.
What does your shirt say?
What does it say?
Determined.
Determined, yeah.
What are you determined right now about?
I don't know, man. It's just a shirt. It's just a shirt. It was clean. I threw it on. Clean.
It looks good. I like it on you. It looks good on you.
Yeah, man. I'm not too man enough to support pink. Rock
yeah,
pink.
Man. You're in touch with your feminine side.
Oh, yeah. Very much man. So. Yeah, RIP Nate Dogg. Nate Dogg was on that song. He was the one on the hook. Yeah. Yeah. Solid. So.
All right. All right.
Yeah. What are we eating today?
I'm not going to lie. I'm scrambling because I got to run out right at 3. I'm getting picked up. A bunch of us are going down to this tennis ranch. So I went to this sandwich shop called Ike's at the Arboretum. And that sandwich shop is ridiculous. They have this bread. It's called Dutch Crunch. It's insane.
Huh.
And the sandwich is like fried chicken, spicy mustard, barbecue sauce. It's so good. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, Ike's sandwich shop. Love sandwich or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Yeah, man. I'm just keeping it real. So I'm kind of a mess, as you can see. I was like racing around, trying to get stuff done, mowed the lawn. And then I looked at my watch. I'm like, oh, shizzle nizzle. I got to get going. But, oh, my God, they got Will Levis at the Masters, for God's sake. Is everyone getting into the Masters?
What you mean? I mean, if you're an athlete, it should be a little easier than the rest of us normal folk, you know?
Laura Rutledge is looking good.
Laura Rutledge.
She used to be on the SEC Network. You got to start watching the SEC Network now, Zay.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't be, right. Be watching. You got to get up to speed.
Yeah.
I do too. I got to learn all this stuff. I'm trying to get to know all these athletic directors. I got to go to SEC meetings at the end of May. I got to meet all these dudes and be like, hey, I'm the Texas guy. So, what can you tell me?
Yeah.
We'll talk some Texas. We'll talk some Texas. We're going to do Texas basketball first.
All right.
Okay. They got a couple visitors. Okay. You ready?
Let's get it.
I need you to do some quick reconnaissance on Julian Larry. Julian Larry.
Indiana State.
Indiana State. And Jason, J-A-Y-S-O-N, Kent. Jason Kent.
Also Indiana State.
So, Jason Kent.
It wasn't, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from Indiana State.
Kareem was in. So was the Air Force guy, the Aryan-looking three-point shooter.
Yeah, I don't know. How do you pronounce his name?
Right? I have no idea.
Petrus.
Yeah. Petrus Atascasita or something.
Yeah. I saw his game. His game's all right. That shot's a little slow.
He can shoot it.
Yeah, it's a little slow, though.
Yeah, it's a little slow.
A little slow.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
But he's not as tall. Who was the white kid who played at Utah? Ended up being like the number two pick. Long.
Steve Van Horn?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay, I take it back.
Take that back. Whoa.
Keith Van Horn was like 6'9".
Old. Hold up. That's, yeah, Keith Van Horn, if you throw his name out there, especially
no, never
college.
Mind. No.
Okay. Because I see that. I saw White and Shooter, but Keith Van Horn did not come to mind.
No.
Keith Van Horn had a bag.
Yeah, Keith Van Horn was legit.
Keith Van Horn with Andre
Miller. Played for Rick Majerus.
Yes, with Andre Miller and Doliak. Those dudes were cold.
R.I.P. Rick Majerus.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Rick, man. Yeah, those dudes were cold. They had Salt Lake City rocking. Rocking, baby. Yeah. Let's see.
How far did that Utah team get? Final four?
Final four. I think championship game. I think they lost to Kentucky.
Isn't that the year that Tubby in Kentucky was in 98?
Yeah, I think it was 98, and I think it was Tubby's team. That makes more sense, yeah.
Yeah. That was in San Antonio.
Really?
In fact, this that print right there, that's the program from the 98 – Final Four.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
They don't even put the teams on the program.
So CB's throwing out a question right here. Rick Majerus almost replaced Tom Penders?
Yeah, it was down to Rick Barnes and Rick Majerus.
Wow.
And decided that, like, Rick Majerus's weight – they thought he was like dangerously obese. And I mean, it's weird. He was living in the hotel.
Yeah. That was the thing. Him living in the hotel. That was a little scandalous. Like, come on, dude, you gotta be a little more tame.
He didn't want to cook. He just did room service. I mean, it was wild. I mean, if you make that kind of money, like, think about that. At that time, he actually probably, I don't know, maybe he didn't have to pay. Maybe in Salt Lake City, some hotel was like, yeah, you can stay here all the time. We'll promote it and people will want to come here because you live here. I don't know. But it was wild.
Yeah, man. What's the difference between that and staying at one of these high rises downtown?
Well, I'm just saying, you're going to pay way more if you're staying at a hotel because the rates are ridiculous. Like if you buy a condo, but he didn't want to do he didn't want to do laundry. He didn't want to cook.
Yes. Dedicated. He just wants to coach.
Right.
He just about the game. How is that a negative? Like, what are we looking at?
But he was big.
So
I'm just saying. Texas
that wouldn't go down in 2024.
What are you talking about? Kansas fired Mark Mangino because he was four bills. That dude took him to an Orange Bowl. That dude never should have been fired.
Yeah.
That dude never should have been fired. People were like, oh, he was going off on kids at a flag football game. I'm like, okay, that's the most ridiculous grounds for firing I've ever heard. I heard that it was a big booster who was like, I will pay for the new practice fields if you get rid of that 400-pound blob coaching our football team. And that's what happened. KU people are like, no, he was a jerk to kids at a flag football game. I'm like, yeah, get over yourself. That dude had a great coaching staff. They won an Orange Bowl with my man Sparky, Todd Reesing, Lake Travis. Mangino called him Sparky. He was a former catcher at Lake Travis, went on to become the quarterback, like sent a video to Kansas that was like passed from somebody's nephew's uncle's girlfriend's dog to Mark Mangino. And Mangino saw the tape and was like, yeah, let's give him a shot. Won an Orange Bowl. Todd Reesing should never have to buy a meal in Lawrence. In fact, let's call him. Maybe he should jump on with us today.
Yeah, call him. Just interrupt whatever the hell he's doing.
I love Todd
Reesing. A lot of people work right now. I know you and us just bullshit for 2 hours every day from 1 to 3, but normal people work this time.
You know, some people like to relive some great memories.
Oh, true. Like your 0-2 media football game. Thank you. With the Cowboys. I get it.
Well, how about you burning up Westlake every time you played him?
Yeah. Love those days. Absolutely.
What was your all-time high score?
Just 20.
20?
Yeah.
Against Westlake?
No, against Bastrop. I had like 18 against Westlake and that game where we were down double digits and your boy brought us back.
6 of 6 from three?
About 5 for 5. But in that span, it was like 3 straight 3s. We cut it down to like 1 point. Coach called the timeout. I'm getting the crowd up, hyping them up. CC yelling at me to get in the timeout huddle to go over the game plan. I remember he blew that moment for me. I was pissed. I was like, dude, let me get the crowd up. Let me get the crowd. I just hit 3 straight 3s. We're back in the game. Let me have this moment. And he wanted to come all the way on the court. But get your ass in the huddle. Get your ass back in the huddle. Which somebody yesterday said that CeCe should go for the Kentucky job. And shout out to Mark Pope, former BYU coach. He's getting it. Former Wildcat himself on that 96 team. Yeah, CeCe, nah. Kentucky, that ain't good. He ain't trying to do that. He can't. I'm saying the X's and O's part, cool. But CC, once you start talking NIL and stuff, CC would lose his mind. Absolutely not.
What do you think of the Mark Pope hire at Kentucky?
I mean, with the names that were going out there, Dan Hurley and Scott Drew and Nate Oates, it's definitely a downgrade. But he's a Kentucky
Mark
guy.
Mark Pope or Chris Beard?
Chris Beard. Chris Beard. Yeah. Chris Beard was just with Crazy Girl. That's all. He was just with Crazy Girl. He should have just cut it off. Yeah, he dumped her. She was wilding out. You know what I'm saying? Chris just made the wrong move. Texas couldn't handle that. We know what happened, but now, Chris, hey, you good. You can't come back to Texas, but you good anywhere else. Hell yeah, I'm hiring over Mark. Yes. I don't give a damn if you want it back in that
team
in
96.
Yo, that team in 96, though, Mark really didn't have much to do with it. There were like 9 NBA players on that team. Antoine Walker, Ron Mercer, Derek Anderson, Nazir Muhammad, Tony Delk. That team was loaded. That's one of the best college basketball teams of all time. Mark didn't do nothing on that team, really. But he was a part of it.
What year was that?
96. The Untouchables.
That was before Tubby's.
Yeah, right. That was Rick Pitino's last team and stuff. Then, you know, Mark Pope ain't no cokehead. Who said that on our Coda text line? 512-222-9328. No, man. Mark Pope ain't no cokehead. We ain't going to put that on him. But, yeah, he's – the offense is good. He understands that area. You know, he's one of their own. So all those things make sense. It's just not getting Scott Drew, not getting Nate Oates, not getting Dan Hurley, Mark Pope, who just lost in the first round to Duquesne with a BYU team that I thought was really good. You shouldn't be losing first round with that team that you had. Absolutely not. Come on. So that's not really – he's not really coming in on that positive of a note. But, again, he's one of their own. So we'll see how he does. But, yeah, what John Calipari brought, that dude did some really good things at Kentucky. It's just those people got tired of him.
But he's had two – he's had some stuff vacated, hadn't he?
Who?
Calipari. Ooh. I think his, I don't know if his UMass season. He had big fella.
Marcus Camby.
Oh, Marcus Camby.
Marcus Camby was good.
That dude was legit.
He was good. He was good. I thought he would be a better pro. I mean, he wasn't bad. I think he was defensive player of the year one season with the Nuggets and stuff. I just thought his offensive game would have been better, you know.
Okay, so have you done some quick recon on Julian Larry and Jason Kent?
Either
of these guys excite you?
I mean, just a lot of Indiana State guys. They've got runner-up in the NIT, so – you got their three best players coming down. So I guess that's cool, but they're all right. They're all right. You need some more. You know what I'm saying? You need some more, and I think there'll be more guys available, but, you know, we'll see. They might fit in Rodney Terry's system, but there are a couple guys out there still that I think you should be taking a look at. Alabama, one of their guards is in the transfer portal. Rylan Griffin, he's from the Dallas area. So I think Texas is going to take a look at him. He's around 6'6", and he's a really good shooter, hit some big shots for Nate Oates' team, especially in the tournament. So I think that would be a good look. But, yeah, I'm still waiting to hear things on Dylan Mitchell and Tyrese Hunter because a lot of people are – declaring for the draft right now. It's a weak draft, so it'd be odd Dylan Mitchell not to go, but I think everybody that's watching,
he's not ready.
I think everybody will agree with you and I, Chip, on just watching him play this last year. He'll show flashes of, oh man, that's an NBA player, that's a superstar. Like that game he had against UConn, he had a really good game against Iowa State. You know, there are some games that gets
The fact that you're having to search.
Yeah, it's tough. That's not good. Yeah, he's just so inconsistent. Yeah. And that jump shot, he's not confident in it.
No.
To where if you're an NBA scout, like, dude, you got to be able to space the floor. Like, yeah, and your defense isn't that great anyway. Like, you can be a good defender, but you need to come into the league with a way better IQ than what you got. So somebody's going to take a chance on him if he declares, but they better know that it's going to be a work in progress. And, hey, it depends on how patient you're willing to be with him.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, but now you talk about transfer portal, Indiana State, give me Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robbie Avila. Yeah, bring him on. Bring that dude on. That dude in a big stage, yes. He has like a DJ Birds just type of dominant game where you have to double team him almost every time. He can pass. He can shoot that thing. He might be a little goofy, but that kind of plays into his aura. And I think he knows with a place like Texas, he could really benefit from NIL opportunities. So Robbie Avila, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, whatever they all his other weird nicknames and stuff, like, hey, bring him on. That'd be a good get. But, yeah, Coach Terry and those guys, they got to keep grinding.
Yeah, they got to keep grinding. They got – I don't know that we talked about – and we're going to have John McClain on it too. I don't know that we talked about the list. Did you – so in the insider – I put a list together of dudes that Texas is looking at in the transfer portal for basketball. And you got Malik Mack, Harvard, 17.2 points, 4.8 assists, 4 rebounds.
He's really good.
He's 6'1", 170.
Yeah.
Jordan Pope, Oregon State, junior, 6'2", 165, 17.6 points, 3.4 assists, 2.6 rebounds. And then Julian Larry, the kid we were just talking about from Indiana State, he'd be a grad transfer. You get 1 year, 11 points, 4.8 assists, 2.8 rebounds. What about John L. Davis from Florida Atlantic?
Yeah, I really like John L. Davis. He had his coming out party 2 years ago in Florida Atlantic, going to the Final Four. Solid physical point guard. They took a step back at FAU this year, but he's a heck of a player, and he has that size that you want at the Power 6 level, or I guess Power 5 level with Pac-12 not being around no more. But, yeah, he's the type of guy that you want, especially with the experience he has, a lot like what Max Asemus brought last year, but he's a lot bigger than Max Asemus. So him being durable, you don't have to worry about him, especially defensively like you did with Max Asemus.
AJ Storr, 6'7 wing from Wisconsin.
I thought he was going to Illinois.
Everyone thinks he's going to Illinois.
Okay.
Rytus Petratus.
That's Air Force.
6'7", Air Force.
Yeah.
15.7 points, 6.3 rebounds. That's more than Illinois. Oh, that's going to live on forever. Just because they're both from the state of Utah. Actually, Air Force is Colorado, isn't it? Sorry. All right. Brandon Garrison, big man, 6'11", 245 from Oklahoma State. He's a bit of a project. Although, 7.5 points, 5.3 rebounds, 1.5 blocks per game. Danny Wolf from Yale, 7-footer. White boy, 14.1 points, 9.7 rebounds, 2.4 assists. And then Farrell Payne from Minnesota, junior, 6'9", 255, 10 points, 6.1 rebounds, 1.4 blocks per game.
Yeah. I go after Jonas Adu, too, Tennessee big. He's entered the transfer portal.
Okay.
I'd go after him hard. Because that dude was a big part of Rick Barnes' success. And, you know, Chip, it's weird him leaving Tennessee. I mean, you know, if you're him, Don Connect's gone and, you know, Vescovi's gone. I don't know if Zakai Ziegler's coming back. I feel pretty sure he is. But that game that Tennessee had against Purdue, Adu didn't play as much as he should have. And I don't know if that was one of those – hey, man, I'm going up against Zach Edey. Coach, what are you doing? Moments to where, okay, I might need a new place, a new atmosphere. And, hey, that might be Texas' blessing, but I'd take a look at the former Tennessee center.
All right. All right, let's talk some football. Let's talk some NFL. We can talk anything with John McClain. I mean, man was in movies, Spring Breakers. If you've never seen that movie, oh my gosh, John McClane plays a judge and all these smoking hot girls are in their bikinis and they keep hosing them down to make them wet in the courtroom. John can't even concentrate on his lines. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys, and you're close to being right. I didn't hose them down.
Yeah, no, you didn't hose them down. You just watched Hollywood hose them down.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun shooting.
Where was that location?
We the base camp was in Tampa, and we took we went down to Bradenton for a they got a courtroom for a day in Bradenton. We went there. We spent 8 hours in the courtroom. I was a judge. The four girls, Selena Gomez, Vanessa Hutchins, Ashley Benson, who was on an ABC show then called Pretty Little Liars, and the director, Harmony Korine's wife, Valerie. They were in jail, and they had from too much partying in Spring Breakers, and they had to come out and come in my courtroom. And the way the it took 8 hours. And the reason was I only screwed up my lines four times, but because James Franco, that was the first scene he was in. And they had to shoot him from every angle. And my first lines were when they go, all right, scene such and such, take one, action. And I start my lines, and the director, Harmony Korine, goes, cut. He said, Judge, you can't sentence them if you don't look at them. And I said, well, I feel kind of like a dirty old man. He said, well, you got to look at them when you're sentencing them. So I said, okay. And so one thing I'd learned on other movies, when you shoot takes, never try to do it the same way. Always try to do it differently and then let the editor or the director figure out which one he likes. So we ended up shooting all day, and the girls were like 5 feet from me, and we did it over and over, and they got real tired, and everybody got real tired. And by the end of the day, they were over there trying to screw up my lines by going stuff like that. But I was a professional, and they didn't throw me off.
Hey,
there we go.
Those checks cleared.
Yeah, those big checks. I tell you what, when I got there, it was a night. Say it's about 6 o'clock when I got to the Tampa airport, and I had a woman waiting, holding up a sign said Mr. McClain. So I went. She took me to the hotel, and I checked in. I got there right in time to watch the Baylor women play in the NCAA tournament. So that day I got there, I went to the room service. And then next day we spent about 10 hours. She picked me up. And then the next day that I left, she picked me up about 8 a.m., takes me to the airport, hands me a bunch of cash. And I said, what is this? She said, well, that's your $800 a day for 3 days. And you're $60 a day for 3 days for per diem. And I'm like, wow, this is great. It was the minimum you could make as Screen Actors Guild then, $800 a day. Well, I got paid to watch Baylor women's basketball. And then I got paid to go to the airport and fly home. So I really only worked, although I didn't consider work, one day. And that was a lot of fun. I said, hey, you guys need anybody else for this kind of work? You just let me know.
I mean, was that the most fun you've had? Because you were in Secretariat. You made a great movie called Cook County.
Yeah, it was the most fun because the other scene, we came back from Bradenton. I was riding in the van with the four actresses, and they were spread out through the back of the van, and I was up in the front. And the driver, his name was Cheech. That's all I knew. He's Cheech. So I'm listening to Cheech on the phone talking about the Buccaneers. And so when he got off, I said, you a big Bucs fan? He said, yeah, nobody knew what I do. They just knew I was some old fat guy with an accent playing the judge. Then every other movie I was in, I went to dinner the night before with the director or the producer, and they knew I was an NFL writer and did talk shows because I was there to help them publicize it, and I had put together groups to be in the scenes to help them publicize the movies, like in Longest Yard when I had Adam Schefter and Peter King and Jay Glazer and Larry Wiseman from Yesterday, the late Brian Burwell, Sam Farmer from the LA Times. And I told them, we will help you publicize your movie. And they liked that. Anyway, nobody knew. So we're driving along, and the Cheech is telling me what, there's not a bigger Buccaneers fan out there than him. So while he's talking, I text John Lynch and the Bucs safety. And I can't remember John. No, he was playing then. And I texted him and I texted what I was doing and said, can you call me and give me 5 minutes to talk to this diehard Bucks fan? He types yes. So my phone rings and I go, hello. He said, okay, what do you want me to do? I said, Cheech? Yeah, Cheech is here. Hang on. And I look over at him and I said, hey, this is for you. And he looks at me like, me? Is that a joke? I said, no. Guy wants to talk to Cheech. You're only Cheech in here. So he takes a phone and he goes, hello? What? No, give me a break. He's like, who is this? Who's playing a joke on me? And he doesn't believe it's John Lynch. So I said, who is it? He said, it's John Lynch from the Bucks. I said, well, he's not calling me. I said, well, why don't you ask him a question? Only John Lynch would know. So he thinks a second. He goes, okay. He says, answer this. And he tells him. He asks him. And I don't hear what John says. All I know is he goes, holy bleep, and he loses control of the van. And the girls are sliding across the seats in the back, and I reach over and grabbed it with my left hand because that's a lot of money riding in that van. Paparazzi's following us, trying to take pictures. I tried to get the girls to do it so I could get People magazine or something. So while Cheech is talking to him, and then he hangs up and hands me my phone, he's like, I can't believe it. So he calls some friend of his, tell him he just talked to John Lynch. Guy didn't believe it. And he goes, well, I don't know. The judge knew him. Well, the judge is in this movie I'm driving for. No, he must have known him. So I text Warren Sapp. He calls, phone rings. I said, Cheech, you got another call. He grabs it. Who is this? Oh, my goodness. Holy bleep again. So when I got out,
showing off in front of the girls.
Well, they weren't paying any attention to us whatsoever. They were all on their cell phones, ducking down, trying to keep away from the paparazzi. So when we get back to my motel, and I'm not in the big fancy one like the girls, I figure I ought to tell him how it is. I know those guys. And so I get out and I said, Cheech, my name's John McClain. I've covered the NFL for 30 years for the Houston Chronicle and spent a lot of time covering the Buccaneers. That's how I knew him. I hope that you had a good time talking to John and Warren. And his mouth was open. It's kind of like the old Long Ranger show. Who was that masked man? A couple of months later, my phone rings. Hello. Hey, John, this is Cheech. Remember me? I'm in Atlanta working on a movie. Do you know any Falcons? I said, Cheech, nice knowing you. And I hung up.
Yeah. You got to block that one, John.
So that was a lot of fun doing that movie and getting paid $800 a day to 2 days, $800 not to do squat.
Love it. Love that. All right. So you can read John McClain over at HoustonTexans.com. John, what's at the top of your notebook this week?
Well, I sent one this morning. I don't know if it's posted yet. It might be. They got my name and big thing there. They treat me really well. And it's about why Nick Cerio and D'Amico Ryans have signed 13 defensive free agents. And they've also, excuse me, I got a cold, 13 defensive free agents and re-signed four of their guys. So it's all about that. And I'm going to give you a preview because they play first-place schedule, five division winners. Those division winners were combined 59-26. Their offenses were 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 9. That's counting Miami. They were wild card. And the 9, the worst one, was the Chiefs. And five division winners were 2nd, 5th, 7th, 9th, and 10th in defense. So C.J. Stroud will have his hands full, too. They play 7 playoff teams, and those quarterbacks, 207 touchdowns, 85 interceptions, and the two worst ratings for those 7 quarterbacks from the playoff teams were Mahomes and Josh Allen. So they got their hands full.
Okay. That is going to make it tougher.
Well, they also, I think, will use – they have 2 2s, a 3 – 2 4s, 2 6s, and 2 7s. And I think it won't surprise me if the first 3 picks are defensive tackle and corner in the 2nd round, or corner defensive tackle. They'll draft a safety in the third or fourth. And before it's over, they'll draft a couple of offensive linemen. I have a column that is posted from Wednesday in which I talked about it's amazing what they achieved last year, considering injuries forced them to start 11 different offensive linemen, six different combinations. Three of those starters shouldn't even been in the NFL. And three of them are gone, and so they're not going to ignore it. They still got a lot back. And a key player, y'all remember Kenyon Green from A&M. Kenyon, 15th pick 2 years ago, started 14 games as a rookie, and he's okay. Missed all of last season. Now he's coming back. He's healthy. And, boy, if he doesn't pan out, he'll be the worst draft choice that Nick Caserio has made. And but if he does, there's a reason they took him 15th overall. Is at A&M, they used him, I think, at almost every position. And the Texans have put him in at left guard. He got overpowered a lot. Well, he's had 2 years to work on his strengths. So, they don't have to have him, but if he could come in there, their other four jobs should be set. Only thing that could keep them from using their other four would be injuries. I've never seen an offensive line decimated by injuries last year. When they started 0-2, they had five offensive linemen on IR. Then they won two in a row. Besides those guys being on IR, Laramie Tunsil missed three of the next four games, and they won two. I mean, you talk about makeshift, and that's when I started to think maybe DeMeco is a special kind of coach and Stroud is a special kind of quarterback. It turned out they were.
Yeah. I mean, they overcame a lot. And they won a playoff game.
And, you know, they lost at Atlanta on a field goal with no time left. They lost at Carolina on a field goal with no time left. They got creamed by the Jets at MetLife Stadium, and Zach Wilson played his best game since BYU. But I was thinking if they just split the Carolina and Atlanta losses. So they finished 10-5 after that 0-2 start, and now everybody's got them going to the Super Bowl. And what I just told you all about that schedule, and I didn't even tell you how high those teams they had. There were 12,000-yard rushers in the NFL last year. Texans played against six of them. So the one that had the most yards was Derrick Henry. He's now with Baltimore. So they got a really, really tough schedule. Last time they played a first-place schedule was 2020, and it was murderer's row. They start 0-4, and I thought it was more of the schedule and not them, but Bill O'Brien at that point was blowing a gasket almost every day. It was a terrible situation at work and personnel and the administrative side. And Jack Easterby was there working against him, as it turned out. So they fire O'Brien, elevate Easterby to interim coach. And interim GM, Romeo Cannell, the interim coach, gets to play Jacksonville the first game. And they win that one. But boy, that was tough, but they were playing. Let's see, Watson played great that year, but they didn't have anything else around him.
Yeah. John, what's been the vibe with Stephon Diggs being in town for a little bit? It seems like, I don't know if he just has a great media team behind him because his videos are crazy. They always look good with him working out and stuff, and he's putting on the Texans helmet, and I see that he's changed his number back to his college days when he was at Maryland. It seems like he's fitting in well there, just not being there very long.
Well, have you ever seen anybody post any video on social media that showed him not doing well?
Touche.
He's working out there with Stroud and Tank Dell and John Metchie III. And last year, one of the things I liked about Stroud was he also went back to California and invited the receivers to come out there. That was after the offseason program ended, and they had a month before training camp. And I'm assuming he's going to do that again. So he had him here and he had him there. And he and Diggs, Diggs, I thought it was brilliant of Nick Caserio to do what he did, make it a one-year deal. A lot of people criticize it around the country, but he'll turn 31 in November. And then next year when his contract is up, he'll turn 32 in November. And how many guys are going to be 32 at wide receiver and get big contracts? So if he plays well and he behaves and he's not a pain in the butt like he was at Buffalo and Minnesota, although – to be fair, he was not a pain when he got there to either team. He went a couple of years before he became a diva. And also caught more passes than anybody in the NFL the last 4 years. So they'll get the very best he has to offer on and off the field. And he's going to be having a huge chip on his shoulder, wanting to prove the Bills wrong, prove it wasn't him, it was them, but they couldn't wait to get rid of him because, you know, he's like a hemorrhoid that wouldn't go away, pain in their butt constantly. And so he's going to be out to prove a lot of people wrong. And he's got better receivers there with Nico Collins, Tank Dell, tight end Dalton Schultz than he had in Buffalo, where Gabe Davis, he was okay. He's nothing special, but the tight ends were good.
So John Metchie, what do they think of him, John? And where is he on the happy-o-meter of the Houston Texans?
Last season was after he battled, he had to overcome a torn ACL coming into the NFL. Texans traded into the second round getting it to get him, knowing he was going to recover from the ACL, might not be available that season because he got hurt in the SEC championship game, but he was so talented. They wanted him, and they got him. And then when he undergoes his physical here, he finds out that he's got leukemia. So he spent his rookie year battling leukemia. He came back last year. He made a contribution. One of the things I liked about Metchie was his blocking. And D'Amico Ryans is like Kyle Shanahan. If you don't block on offense, you don't play. People talk about, oh, Dalton Schultz can't block. He blocked his butt off. He tried. Because they force it. You don't play. If you're a tight end and you don't want to block, you don't play. So Metchie, and I'll never forget this, they were 1-2. Pittsburgh was there. And I watched him on two or three occasions, and I don't understand how this happened. He came in motion, and after T.J. Watt flying off the edge, beat the tackle, he blocked him to give Stroud just enough time to get rid of the ball. And I think T.J. Watt had one assisted tackle and one tackle, didn't get no quarterback hits, nothing. And that showed me something about him. And he made some big plays, but right now the train's almost on the tracks and going down the tracks and leaving him. I think he's got to make the team. I could think he's got to have a strong showing. Xavier Hutchinson, who we all saw at Iowa State, he flashed some plays last year. I'm still surprised he was drafted 6th. He's big. He's a blocker. Robert Woods is a veteran who might not make the team, but they like his leadership. So they got a lot of receivers. If they saw somebody in a lower round who had a trait they like, number one, he better block. But say he was really fast but had a problem dropping passes or was playing in a system that didn't fit him, I could see him using a pick on another wide receiver. But right now, after the Diggs trade, that's not a priority position at all.
John, O.J. Simpson passed away yesterday. You being a part of the NFL as long as you have, I'm sure you know people who've known O.J. or you've came across O.J. at different times. Just tell us your opinions on the juice.
Thought he was a scum sucking pig, murdered 2 people and got away with it because he had great attorneys. And I hope he burns in hell. But he was a great running back and he took advantage of having good people to help him get all his commercials. And got on TV and in his last, let's see, he was a sideline reporter when Buffalo beat the Texans in that great comeback on January 3rd, 1993. And they used that in court because he was wearing, I can't remember what it was about his Bruno Magli shoes, but they were, it was an important thing. So they got the tape out and showed that he was wearing them in that game. And I can't remember what the big deal was about. But when you met O.J.,
I think it was just to prove they had like footprints of a Bruno Magli shoe, and they were trying to show that. See, he wears those shoes.
I think it wouldn't matter what they proved; he was going to get off, and because of the climate in L.A. at the time, but he could be very charming, and I told this story for about 10 or 12 years that. One time, Al Cowlings, who played for the Oilers, I saw Al and I said, where were you and O.J. going when you were on that ride in your white Bronco? And he said, you know, nobody's ever asked that. I said, well, I'm just curious. Where were you going? Canada? He said, no, we're going to Waco. I said, Waco? Why in the world would you go to Waco? He said, because OJ said nobody think to look for a Heisman Trophy winner in Waco. Now, that joke was spoiled in 2011 by RG3, but I got a lot of mileage out of it.
Oh, my God.
It pissed off a lot of Baylor fans.
Wasn't Derek Koresh around, though?
Do yeah. what?
Was it Koresh around, though, in 94?
93.
Yeah.
April 19th, 93.
I'll never forget the Rockets were playing the Knicks, and they were on TV, and they kept cutting in to the Bronco ride. And at one point, they just left the game completely. And so if you were a fan in Houston or a fan of the Knicks, you're going crazy because the game was not on. They were that was such a big deal, and all the networks were watching OJ and Al Cowlings in the white Bronco. I've read several stories now and I think are great. Whatever happened to the white Bronco? And it's at a museum, and it's a museum for infamous cars. And I saw some pictures of it, and it's beautiful. All the old cars they have that people got shot in and stuff. And I can't, somebody that what maybe OJ is agent or somebody bought it and ended up giving it, donating it to the museum, or they bought it from him. In the pictures I saw, it was in pristine condition. Can you imagine if they ever put that car out there to auction, even though it was terrible, but still what it would bring if you could show people the white Bronco that OJ drove, that Al Cowlings drove OJ in?
Man, I remember where I was. I was at a tennis tournament in Tyler, Texas, and just got done playing. And had just gotten out of the shower, and my girlfriend at the time is like, OJ Simpson's in a white Bronco. And I don't think I sat there half the night in a towel because I couldn't stop watching this stuff. I was like, is he going to kill himself? Is he going to kill himself? Remember, he had a gun in the Bronco.
Yep. When Dom Capers was the head coach here, he had been the original head coach of the Panthers, their expansion team. And when Dom was here, they talked about Dom didn't have kids. He was a workaholic. He worked 16, 18-hour days, and he'd want his assistant coaches to. And they're like, we got families. We got kids. So Vic Fangio told a story that when the Bronco was on the road, the entire staff was gathered around a TV in Carolina watching it. In somebody's office, and Dom walks down the hall and said, what's going on? He said, OJ is in Ford Bronco, and Al Cowlings is driving, and we don't know where he's going, what's going on. He's got a gun. And Dom goes, what's going on with OJ? And the whole crowd turned to him and looked at him like, what the bleep? But that was so Dom Capers that he was so focused on football, he wasn't paying attention to anything else going on in the world.
Man. Yeah, that was the other thing. The murder, the actual murder, was like using something like a machete or something to lop the heads off of your wife and her friend.
Like they talk about brought her glasses to her house after he got off work. You talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the juice comes barreling out of the bushes. I saw somebody tweet yesterday. I bet OJ died really disappointed that they never found his wife's killer.
Oh,
man. the juice comes out of the bushes. Oh, John, that's hilarious.
They talk about like the way you murder somebody. Like if you use a gun, you can be kind of distant. You can kind of be, oops, I shouldn't have done that. You take a knife or a machete or whatever it was to the necks of your victims. That's yikes. I mean, it's all yikes, but, you know, they talk about you're a murderer's murderer if you're using a knife and you're trying to lop people's heads off. Like,
as the mother of your children.
Yeah. Anyway, Well, the word is that he saw Nicole with Marcus Allen in her, like he was creeping on her, and he looks in the window and there she is, like they had sex apparently in the living room, front of all the windows, and OJ's just like transfixed and he couldn't ever get over it.
Who knows? I've seen Marcus Allen every once in a while related to Hall of Fame stuff.
He still looks great.
Dying at, oh, he does. And the women love Marcus.
Oh my God.
He was
God.
Single forever.
Lies.
And I don't know if he's still single, but I always wanted to ask him about that. But of course, you can't. And I don't know him well enough, and I wouldn't anyway. But I was always thinking about that thing about where OJ was spying on him.
I mean, so funny story. Marcus Allen is like, I know he was married at one point because he was getting divorced and he wanted to get rid of this Santa Barbara house he had. He didn't want her to get it. And so he sold it to Aikman. And we were out there at training camp in Oxnard, and Babe Laufenberg's like, hey, grab Jacques. We're going to Troy's. I'm like, okay, whatever. And so we drive to Santa Barbara and it's just a handful of people. Some of the Cowboys coaches and Babe Laufenberg was like super nice to drag me and Jacques along. But Babe told me that story and I was like, oh my God. I mean, sweetheart deal for Troy. And if you walk out the driveway of his house, Babe's like, hey, you know, we're walking along. It's Santa Barbara. It's amazing. He goes, look up to your right. And it was like a chateau.
Was it, let me guess, is Michael Jackson or Oprah Winfrey?
Oprah. I mean, it looked like a French chateau with the hills in front of it and, you know, sweeping lawn. I'm like, this was 2002. I have no idea what that house would bring today, but it looks like a chateau.
Well, you know, when Aikman sold it, if he sold it, he made a fortune because all the real estate in Santa Barbara is some of the richest in the world, not just in California or the U.S., but the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'll have to check and see if he sold that house or not. It was so cool. But yeah, that is such an awful, but that story captivated everybody. And the whole Marcus Allen thing is so weird because Marcus went to USC, won the Heisman, and he was like every, you know, USC people were like, he's the next OJ. And then they sort of developed a relationship either like in commercials or something. And OJ, like there was a special thing about Marcus Allen. Like, OJ's ego. Who are you talking about? You're the next OJ, you know?
In 2016, when OJ Made in America came out, I refused to watch it, even though everybody said it's spectacular. So last night, ESPN ran it again, and I taped them. And so tonight, I'm going to binge watch them and because I know they're going to be great. But now the juice is on the other side of the grass. I'm gonna watch them.
Yeah. No, it is great. It is great. It's really well done. John, you're the best, man. Always love the conversation.
Next week, we'll talk about the draft.
Yeah, next week, we'll talk about the draft because it's here, kids. We're closing in.
I can't wait. Guys, thank you very much, as always.
What do you think about – we got to ask you about Scott Drew.
Well, I'm so happy. We thought he was gone. I'm on a text thread with a bunch of alums, all from Baylor, of course, and some of them from Waco, and we thought he was gone. We had people close to him saying he was gone. The only way he wouldn't is because his wife didn't want to leave. He's moving into a new 17,000 square foot mansion that's taken 2 years to build. And he sent, they came and picked up his family and took him, and he never left. And I guess they came back. And then I think his wife had a lot to do with it. And so it reminded me and when Grant Taft was going to USC, they had beaten USC in L.A. in 1983 when Steve Young was a quarterback. Great game. Taft was going. He told his coaches they were going. and he went to a drugstore, Skaggs Albums, and a woman in line, little old lady, talked to him about loyalty and trust and what he'd done there and how much he was loved and how he could have the job forever. So it made him think, and he told his wife, I'm going to sleep on it. He got up the next day, called everybody, said, we're not going. So Grant had that job as long as he wanted, and Scott Drew, after turning down Louisville and Kentucky, he can have that job as long as he wants it.
Yeah. 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 That's good stuff. That's
and I'm headed to Waco tomorrow for the Texas Sports Hall of Fame induction. Other than Jackie Fischerl, I think it's all Longhorns.
Jackie Sherrill's going in.
Yeah, and I told Kirk Bowles and Melanie Hauser, both Longhorns, who are co-executive committee members. I missed last year because of Texans minicamp. I said, I'm going to start showing up to that meeting. We got way too many Longhorns in the Hall of Fame, or we're going to have to remove you guys as co-directors. But it's going to – Jamal Charles is one of them we're inducting, and it's going to be a great event, as it always is, for the Texas Sports Hall of Fame.
That's awesome. That's awesome. John, great stuff, man.
Thank you, guys. Really
appreciate it. Let's do it again next week.
Let's do it. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Oh, man.
Yo, John's never made me laugh that hard before. That was gold. That was gold.
Oh, my God.
I thought, again,
what John. Think of OJ? I think he's a scum-sucking pig who deserved to die 30 years ago.
Deserved to die?
I was howling.
He said OJ ran out the punches, man.
Like, with the machete.
Holy shit.
He was that lopping heads off. Speed. Out of the bushes.
Out of the bushes at 4.4 speed. Oh, man.
Classic.
Yo, classic. I know I shouldn't be laughing, but I'm also a huge fan of Norm MacDonald. So stuff like that's funny to me.
I'm sorry.
I try to make light out of everything, even the darkest. But that dude, John McClain, was on one today. That was terrific.
That was gold.
That was true. I thought he was going to give us a story about him running across OJ in 85 or something like that, you know, but man.
Oh my God.
That was it right there.
That's great.
Listen to Chip and Zay.
That's right. Ooh. You never know what you're going to get. You never know what's what you're going to get. I mean, you might dial in thinking it's going to be one thing. You didn't think you were going to be howling because John McClain called OJ a scum-sucking pig who deserved to die 30 years ago. And that he came out of the bushes
with ran the, out of the bushes.
And sliced the necks of his wife and her friend.
Yo, man.
And now that OJ's dead, John can watch OJ Made in America.
Which is wild. You would think he would have watched it for work purposes. But he said, nah, man, I'm so against that dude. I'm not going to watch shit on him. You don't need to tell me nothing. I was alive when it happened.
Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I watch them all.
It's like a six-part series.
Yeah, I watched that. I watched the biopic where Cuba Gooding Jr. is playing OJ, which other than Cuba Gooding Jr., everybody else is terrific. Everybody else is great. The guy that plays Johnny Cochran. Ross from Friends.
Schumer. My uncle is in that.
Is he really?
Yeah. Garrett M. Brown. It's a real, I think he's Ron Goldman's dad.
Okay. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yo, he looked exactly like Ron Goldman's dad. Oh, that might have been the closest person that looked exactly like the character they were playing was Goldman's dad. That he looked exactly like him. Wow, yo.
I'll tell him that.
Yeah, tell Kinfolk, well done. He killed that role. Yeah.
That's funny. Man.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
All right, let's work our way to the commentary box. But hey, all these names around our faces here on the YouTube channel. These great sponsors who make it possible for us to be, you know, building Texas Sports Unfiltered like crazy. We appreciate them so much. Please take note and give them your love. because if you love us and more of you are loving us every day, then, you know, love on them too. Because we love them. You know, like Apple leasing, I mean, getting into the car you really want to be driving, you get to lease any make or model of car. So they don't care what car you pick, which is a new car experience you probably never had, because you go to a dealership, they're going to tackle you to get you to buy one of their cars, whether it's a good car for you or not. But that's the way it is. So Apple leasing, that's the way it isn't. You know, call 346-9977. All you need to do is make sure you know exactly what car you want, because they're going to go get it, any make or model of car. And then 2-3 years into the lease, you want to change, you know, try something else? No problem. The easy lease. If you leased from a dealership before, you know, if you wanted to change make and model, they're not going to let you out of that contract. So Apple leasing, it makes so much sense. Cars are a depreciating asset. Just lease it, especially when it's under warranty. 346-9977. Visit appleleasing.com. Tell them Chip Brown sent you, of course, the Brain Vault mouth guard, changing the game. Developed by Austin's dentist, Dr. Greg Eckert, Dr. U-E-C-K-E-R-T, proven patented to reduce the effects of concussion. It is the only mouth guard that should be in your or your competitors' mouths, because why wouldn't you want to be protected against the effects of concussion? Brainvault.com for fittings and audiovisual consultations. I mean, Tom McKay, when you're ready to get in, you know, the big screen of your dreams, surround sound, surveillance, electronic shades, new lighting, AV consultations. They do it all. And all you have to do is make one phone call, 255-8678. And Tom and his crew will bring everything to you. So simple. And Cover 3. I mean, come on. The Masters is on this weekend. Brunch at Cover 3 is a no-brainer. Right there on Anderson, up in Round Rock. And of course, Cover 2 at 183 in Lake Creek. How about a Masters brunch at Cover 3? And Salt Traders Coastal Cooking. I mean, if you got date night this weekend, go get you some oysters. Best selection of oysters during happy hour, 3:30 to 6:30, $1 raw oysters. Just go have a time. Salt Traders Coastal Cooking. All right, Zay. We'll talk a little. Sprinkle it around here today. Gonna give you a little potpourri. Not poopery. Potpourri. All right. First and foremost, big scrimmage tomorrow for the Texas Longhorns. This is, the coaches are starting to tell the players, hey, it's game time. Yeah, this is your second dress rehearsal, and then you got the orange-white game next week. We are taking notes. And some dudes are ahead of the game. Some dudes are not. Let's see how the interior of the defensive line performs this week after having a good 11-on-11 scrimmage, and then they go into red zone work and they get mauled. So, you know, were they tired? Were they relaxing? Or is there concern that the offense chopped through them like hot butter for 3 touchdowns in that red zone work? You know, I'm listening. I'm always listening for the names that make plays in these scrimmages, because that's when the lights are starting to go on.
For sure.
So let's, I'm listening. You know, Ryan Wingo has been a hot name. Colin Simmons, which is a good thing. The more you hear about Colin Simmons or Trey Moore, I didn't hear Trey Moore's name that much after the scrimmage last week. In fact, I don't think I heard it at all. It was Benda, you know, Colin Simmons, Anthony Hill, Gavin Holmes. The whole safety group had a good day. I mean, there weren't many big plays given up. So the defense won the scrimmage overall. They just got smoked in the red zone work. So scrimmage tomorrow, we'll have all the information for you at horns247.com as we get it following the scrimmage. Zay, all these names coming on visits for basketball, you know, Tritus Reditus or whatever his name is. And then you got, you know, Julian Larry now and Jason Kent, the two Indiana State players in the portal. Everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. We're going to know probably based on Ronnie Terry's success or whatever he can get out of the portal. We're going to know if this basketball team is going to be a legit contender in the SEC or they're going to be middle of the pack and you're just going to be happy to go see them at the Moody Center and hope they win their home games. So it's go time. And we're coming in the final 2 weeks of the portal being open for basketball. It closes on May 1st. And that's when the portal for football opens. So it closes for basketball. It opens for football. And then it runs till May 15th. And, you know, that's when you can get in. Now, of course, people are going to recruit. Like poor Ajayi Hall. He may still be in the damn portal. He's like in there yelling and screaming. Hey, don't forget about Ajayi Hall. I'm still in the portal. And that's the sad thing, Zay, is that some of these kids go in the portal and they don't get picked up and then they're not getting their college education.
Yeah.
It just comes to it.
It's very important how you represent yourself off the field because you might have all the talent in the world, but if you're a head case off the field, like these coaches talk, they talk a lot. You know what I'm saying? So by you risking what the Jai Hall did, when he was here on the 40 acres, which he wasn't here very long, you're risking the rest of your career. Sorry, I do believe in second chances, sometimes third, depending on what that second chance was. But hey, man, a lot of these coaches don't, and they're not going to waste their time if you're out here wilding out and not doing the right thing. They don't have time for that, you know? So yeah, guys like Ajayi Hall, they're very common. And you're right, it does suck because you want these guys to get their education. I mean, yeah, you want to play football, but getting your education sets you up for the rest of your life, especially at specific universities like Texas. So, yeah, you know, it's a tricky thing, and you got to be really precise when it comes to selecting these guys for your ball club, but when you're at Texas, you got a lot more resources than these other schools, which gives you the advantage. So let's go, Ronnie Terry. Like, Balo, transfer from Arizona, big center. Y'all got him on 24/7 Sports, number one. Makes sense. Number one transfer portal guy out there. Makes sense. You should be giving them a call. Like, easy. Telling them, hey, man, we want to make you the man. You want to play in one of the best conferences in the nation, the SEC? Come on down. You won't have that, kind of like Arizona was. You won't have that pressure on you, you know, like what football's going on and stuff. Well, Arizona's a big-time basketball school, but still, like, you'll be able to showcase your skills and play in a great atmosphere like the Moody Center and play against high-quality teams that will help you prepare for the next level, whether that's the association or Europe. So, yeah, those are the type of guys you need. You mentioned earlier, and John L. Davis coming from FAU would love both of those guys. Like, that'd be some big-time gets for Rodney Terry.
Those guys are way in the NBA draft.
I don't think so. They're going to test the waters.
Well, no, I mean, that's what they're saying. And one of them's already entered the draft but is just keeping options open, you know?
Yeah, that's what you do. Dylan Mitchell did it last year. Like, Tyrese Hunter did it last year, too. I'm sure those guys are going to do it again. Yeah, Marcus Carr, you know. Which, yo, speaking of guys that made an NBA debut, Timmy Allen did this past week. Memphis Grizzlies had his first buckets as an NBA player. So, congrats to T.A.
Where the hell's Sir Jabari Rice?
He's on the Spurs. Austin Spurs. He's a two-way player for them.
I need that pump fake in the league, dog.
I know, man. I know.
That's that pump fake that Jordan had with those tentacle fingers. You know?
Let's not get carried away. It's a good pump fake, but we're comparing them to Jordan now. That's a little much. But I feel you, Serge Ibaka.
No, Keith Van Horn. I'm very generous today.
You are very generous today. I like
I'm
it.
I'm just giving it away.
I know, man. You should be happy, man. You feel like a great father. You saw your daughter show out yesterday as Cat in the Hat. I feel you coming in with your chest out a little bit. I ain't nothing wrong with that. Play on, player. But yeah, Serge Ibaka Rice, it's tough because he's in a place where they want to give all those young guys that they got those shot that who got
he's
drafted.
He's like 27 already.
Yeah, he's a little older. And, you know, he's a smart player. It's just his thing will always be a lack of athleticism, which says a lot because he's pretty damn athletic. You know, there's certain things that the NBA is looking for that Serge Ibaka Rice doesn't quite have. But I think his basketball IQ, like, he's going to stick with it. If he could keep on developing a shot, make that release a little bit quicker, there's a place for Serge Ibaka Rice. Like, I saw Adam Flagler. You remember the Baylor guard?
Yeah.
I saw him get his debut with the Thunder last week or this past week. Like, those guys that
Who's
we
my
saw.
My man Davion Mitchell.
Kings, Sacramento. Sacramento, yeah.
Is he getting playing time?
A little bit. They go back and forth with him. He is good.
He was the key to that whole operation at Baylor when they won the national championship.
Yeah.
Davion Mitchell, that dude was such a two-way player. So much fun to watch.
Yeah.
Kind of like Jamal Shedd.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great comparison. And that's why Jamal Shedd, it was smart for him to leave. I thought he was going to come back too. If he would have came back, because Emmanuel Sharp is back, LJ Cryer is back, and their big man is back, Jacoby Walker. That might not be his name, but he's their big man.
Walker.
Roberts is back.
Yeah,
he's back. So I thought Jamal Shedd was going to come back, but I think he realizes with how weak this draft is, even though he's 22 years old and the NBA hates that. They hate your age. If you're allowed to drink, they don't like that. They want those guys that can't go get a drink at the bar. That's what they want. They love that potential, which I've heard JJ Redick and LeBron talk about it and be like, yeah, we kind of need to change that. Because you see guys get taken outside of the lottery that are in college for a couple of years. They always thrive on teams that like make the playoffs and stuff like that. Like Christian Brown. Christian Brown's going to be huge for your Nuggets in the playoffs.
I love him too,
man. He dunked on Rudy Gobert the other night with the left hand. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It was
that nuts. Dude is long.
Dude, he's tough. He's tough. I didn't know how he was going to be in the league because his game in college was weird. He wasn't like a knockdown shooter, but he was dunking on people in college, and he was super athletic. So you knew he would have a shot. And plus, if you play for Bill Self, you're ahead of the curve when it comes to just basketball IQ and whatnot. But, yeah, man, that dude, he's going to be big for them in the playoffs. And those type of guys that stick around college for a little bit, that get picked up by these teams that actually have playoff aspirations – those guys do pretty well. Like Jaime Jaquez in Miami, he was good till he got injured. But
see, with basketball, I always felt like either you're talented enough or you're not. But I guess there are guys, you know, because like, you know, all the guys who went straight from high school to the NBA before the one and done, it was hell. Kendrick Perkins went straight from high school to the league.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. And they all did well, it seemed. Now, not C.J. Miles. But, he's had a good career. He's been fine.
C.J. Miles had a good career, 10 years plus.
Yeah. He turned down Texas to go pro.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
That still hurts.
Well,
Texas would have won a national championship with C.J. Miles. I know I'm reaching here, but that team that they were bringing back – what was C.J. Miles, like 05 class maybe?
Oh, God, yeah. You're talking the LaMarcus Aldridge, Avery Bradley. Or no, not Avery Bradley. Ken Paulino.
Yeah.
Ken Paulino. P.J. Tucker was coming in right there.
Yeah. Booby Gibson.
Booby Gibson.
That's my dog. That's my dog.
I loved it when he was in Cleveland with LeBron. I mean, that made his career because, you know, LeBron drops the defense. He gets a kick out for a wide open three. As long as he makes enough of them, he stays.
Yep.
But when LeBron left to go to Miami, do you remember the Booby Gibson letter to Cleveland?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, bleep. Like the minute LeBron left, Booby's like, I'm committed to Cleveland. I love Cleveland. I'm all about Cleveland. I'm Cleveland, Cleveland, Cleveland. And LeBron was like, dude. And I swear his career.
Oh, yeah, his career was shot. I know he had a big-time knee injury that he says was a part of that, you know, downhill. But, yeah, when Bron was there and you were able to
– Bron is a great teammate. He makes everyone better. He made Tristan Thompson $95 million. Like, Tristan Thompson was done. And Bron's like, hey – it's one of my dogs, just like boy J.R. Smith.
Yep,
who doesn't know when to call a timeout or travel or what to do. And Bron got him paid. Bron fought for him.
Oh yeah. A lot of guys' career. Mike Miller, his career was done, and somehow Bron resurrected that. Like, that dude was hobbling around, but LeBron was like, no, he's such a good shooter. I will make up for his defense, have him on the court. And sure enough, he won two rings with him. Mike Miller hitting big-time shots. Mike Miller was trash the whole season for Miami. But playoffs came, and it became a half-court game, and Mike Miller was ready to shoot, and he would knock those things down. Like, yeah, LeBron's a good teammate. I agree.
Who's the white guy for the Warriors who just retired? Kind of shooter. Married to Caroline Wozniacki, the tennis player. Oh, my God.
White dude that just retired for the Warriors? David Lee?
Yes.
David Lee, really?
Yeah, David Lee.
What about him?
He was like Mike Miller, right?
No, he went to Florida. That's probably what you remember. Okay. He was at Florida, maybe with Mike Miller, who played with him, was a teammate or something.
Who did Lee? I was thinking about him because we went to the Western Southern Open in Cincinnati, the tennis tournament, and we're watching Caroline Wozniacki come on the court, and I'm like, that's David Lee. And sure enough, they're married. Which is crazy because I was at the Masters when Rory McIlroy and Caroline Wozniacki were engaged.
Really?
And, you know, she was following him around the golf course. I was following her around the golf course. And now she's married to David Lee.
Hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
It was a very totally off the rails story that did not need to be told, but let's get to the right call.
Yeah, man, let's get it. Before that, though, shout out to Covert Bee Cave. Covert Automotive Dealership's been serving the greater Austin area for over 100 years. Get down there this weekend and see if you could get a new or pre-owned vehicle for you and your family. Hopefully, 7 terrific brands to choose from: Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. You're going to find what you want at Covert Bee Cave. They provide the customer with a high-quality selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Covert Bee Cave. com for all your latest specials and inventory. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. All right, Chip. This broke my heart today, man.
Is this about OJ being a blood-sucking scumbag?
No.
Right.
OJ was misunderstood. Come on, yes. John. OJ misunderstood. He didn't do it. Rodney King, that had nothing to do with it. OJ didn't do anything. All right. But anyway, you know, I'm all about a good statue.
A good statue. Like outside a stadium?
Outside of stadiums.
Absolutely. Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Really special.
Yep. We've talked about the Kobe statue that was put up not too long ago at Crypto Arena, and that statue's all right. I was hoping that Kobe had a basketball in his hand, but his wife, Vanessa, said that that's what Kobe wanted. So whatever Kobe wants at this point definitely needs to happen. I'm good with that. But one of my favorite players of all time, I talk about this guy a ton because the fact that he was off the court wilding out, and was able to be one of the greatest scorers of all time at his size, pound for pound, greatest scorer of all time. Allen Iverson definitely deserves his statue outside of Wells Fargo Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They put the statue out today, Chip.
Oh.
This is the most sad-looking statue I've ever seen in my life. No. Got it on bootleg for the people. Look at that. Look how tiny it is. Look at Eric Snow looking like Anthony freaking Anderson from Black-ish. Looking husky. But you see the Allen Iverson statue. It's very, it has to be like four foot tall. At least. Like, it looks like one of those weird little Minchkin things from Lord of the Rings or some shit. Like, it looks like a hobbit. It looks like a hobbit with a bat with cornrows. And a basketball in his hand. It is so
genuine. Wait, who commissioned that statue?
I don't know. And they have it filmed where Iverson's taking the sheet off of it. And you can tell AI like licking it up and down like, that's it? Like, he's trying to be professional, but he's like, this is it? Like, I know I'm a smaller guy, but what are we doing? Let's have some respect.
Right. Like, is that supposed to be me as a child? Is that supposed to be me at 10 years old?
Rocky has a bigger statue than that. And Rocky's a fictional character.
That statue's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, for a fictional character.
For a fictional character who's 5'10". I mean.
Oh, this is a joke. They gotta fix this. They gotta fix this, man. Because if I'm AI.
Like. Who? The Sixers? Is this? Where is this?
It's outside the Sixers arena, Wells Fargo.
Terrible. That's terrible. Horrible. Would they run out of money? They run out of bronze?
I don't know.
Come on, man. If you're going to do a statue, do a statue.
Yo.
Don't make some lawn jockey sized thing. I mean, come on.
It's janky. It's janky. And come on, AI, again, he was wilding.
He's pissed. I'll
admit it. I'd be pissed too.
Has anyone talked to him since the statue dedication?
Who, Iverson?
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything.
Because he's probably about to go off. He's probably about to be like, really? Have you seen Jordan's statue outside the Chicago Center or whatever?
Yeah, I want to say they have a statue outside and inside.
Yeah. It's huge. Michael
with MJ.
It's like bigger than life size.
Yeah, everybody's clowning in on social media. Like,
oh.
Mo Cheeks has a statue.
And they're all little?
They're all weird looking.
Okay, so.
I'm looking at them all. They're all weird.
they're all weird.
Chamberlain, Charles Barkley, Billy Cunningham. Yeah, I said Mo Cheeks.
Okay, so then.
Okay. They're all weird, though. But AI is the smallest, for sure.
Well, then it's like the NFL Pro or the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, you get the bust, and that's all you get. But they got to have a bunch of them so you're not getting the whole statue. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the 76ers have gone, like, half in on that. Okay, we're going to give you the whole body, but it's going to be miniature. You're going to look like an Oompa Loompa from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. But you're going to get your whole body. You're going to, you know, you're, we're not just doing a bust like the three coaches outside Dishfalk Field. Beautiful busts, nice big busts, but only busts, not the body. 76ers are like, we're going to give you the body, but it's going to be small.
It's going to be small.
Are you okay with this? Or do you have to have a Jordan-sized, life-size statue if if you have to have that, then you're screwed. You're not getting anything.
Yeah. Maybe Dr. J's the closest one. Allen Iverson's the most important player in that franchise.
Okay.
Like, that's over Wilt, because that was the freaking 50s and 60s. Charles Barkley had his run there, but Charles Barkley never got to an NBA Finals. Dr. J, monumental player. But
Barkley was never on a Finals team?
Not with 70, with Philly, no. He came after they went and won.
Right, after the Moses Malone, Dr. J.
Yeah, he came after.
He came in right after. And, like, the Barkley trade to the Rockets, which I said the day it happened was the worst trade possible because you're taking points away from Akeem in the low post. And that's exactly what happened. Barkley's fat ass settled in on the post and Akeem deferred. And the coach, Rudy Tomjanovich, I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was
on that liquor. What do you mean?
I mean, who thought it was a good idea to get Akeem out of the low post and turn him into some
that cognac that Rudy T was drinking at halftime?
That did they get any better with Barkley? No. Mm-hmm. They didn't get any better with Barkley.
No, they didn't. And Barkley, he should have expanded his game. I know that was a time where guys weren't shooting that far out, but if he knew he was playing with Hakeem that whole summer, I'm working on my jump shot so I could create some spacing.
Yeah.
In a time where there was zero spacing. So, yeah, that just tightened everything up, you know.
But, that was terrible.
Yeah.
So. And, okay, now we need the photo of the whole little statue area at the Sixers arena. So we can see all the little bodies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me see if I think I could pull that up. I think I could pull that up. But yeah, man. And CB, I see you asking about TJ Ford's statue. I don't think that's happening.
No, it's not happening.
That's not happening. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It's not happening. He got his jersey in the rafters.
That's all you get, TJ.
All right, let's get Parker in here because these guys are already outside my house picking me up. So, love you all.
Yeah. See you, Chip.
Cheers.
Good week, man.